Marisha, I can understand that in dyeing cloth, some chemical activity happens when we put it in the sun that sets the dye and makes it fast. But I don't understand how engaging in action has the effect of making the infusion of being permanent in the mind. What are the mechanics of this, please?
When the mind gets to that, the system comes to stop functioning. Correspondingly, the mind gains pure consciousness. The nervous system starts functioning. The awareness comes out into the waking state of consciousness, when the body is acting, transcendental pure consciousness, when the body is resting. So resting and acting and resting and acting. What is our experience? When we get to that, it's such a wonderful feeling. When we come out, that wonderful feeling fades away to quite a great extent. The fading away of that wonderful feeling to quite a great extent means the color is erased quite a lot when the cloth is put in the sun. So putting to the sun equates with engaging in activity. The purpose of engaging in activity is to allow that color of being to fade away to the extent it can, and then back and back and back. It's a very good question you are digging into.
I get the idea that if you meditated and then continued sitting in your chair with your eyes open looking around for 8 or 10 hours, then you meditated again, then sat there some more. In other words, if you never really engaged in action, that you would never attain cosmic consciousness, or it would be very, very, very slow. And what I'd like to know is, if this is correct, my understanding of it, why is it that activity makes permanent the keeping some of the being when you come out, and also why is it that the good feeling fades?
The good feeling fades because the nervous system is not yet used to maintain both states of consciousness, transcendental and waking state. The nervous system is not used to maintain both states of consciousness. That's why when we open our nervous system to activity, the mind opens to waking state of consciousness. When we close our nervous system from activity, open it to rest, then the mind opens itself to pure transcendental awareness. Only one way is the system trained. Now we are exposing the system very quickly, exposing it to rest, to activity, to rest, to activity, thereby exposing the mind to transcendental pure awareness, to waking state of consciousness, to pure awareness, to waking state of consciousness. This habit, this alternating experience, cultures the system to have both at the same time. That is why when the mind comes out from transcendental consciousness into waking state, then a lot of the transcendental pure consciousness is lost. But it's not lost completely. As in the case of a cloth dipped in yellow color, quite a lot of yellow color fades away when put to the sun, but it does not fade away completely. It remains yellow to some extent. That is why the process of dipping and drying and dipping and drying, in order that the nervous system is cultured to maintain rest and activity both at the same time.
Maharishi, Okay, now that part of my question I understand. But what's the difference in sitting in your chair after you've meditating and looking around, and actually getting up and doing something? Because I get the idea that if you just sat there and looked around, the infusion of being would not take place. It's not only a waking state of consciousness that's important, but engaging in activity.
The difference will be as if we dip the cloth in the color and put it to the shade, not to the sun. What will happen? In the shade, the color will not fade away to the extent it would fade in the sun. And we put the cloth in the color and put back to the shade, don't expose to sun. That means don't expose to the rigorous process of fading. You sit in the chair and look around, that means you engage in a very faint, faded activity. You are not engaging in vigorous activity. Maybe when you don't allow it to fade very much, then you begin to feel bliss consciousness, yes, a very good feeling and very good feeling. But if you will enter into activity, you will stop feeling that. So the criterion of fast coloring the cloth, the criterion of coloring the cloth fast in yellow color is when you put it to the sun and it never fades. That is the criterion. You keep on putting it to the sun and allow it to fade away. A time comes when you put to the sun and the color doesn't fade. Then the color is really fast and you are sure that it's not going to fade. That is the hallmark of perfection. Otherwise, small activity might be able to be maintained along with bliss consciousness, but if you enter into great activity, you will feel the loss of it. And therefore, the very principle of coloring it fast is dip it in the color and put it to the sun rather than exposing it to the shade. We never do this thing, huh? After meditation, maybe 5-10 minutes is all right. And once we are out, we go to work. It's good to know a case who did such a thing, so that you would know. A young man in England, he started to meditate. He was a non-believer in religion and no believer in God or anything, a sort of extremist. And a sort of extremist. And when he started to meditate, he felt so good. Now he became religious. Becoming religious, he started to read some religious literature, some mystical experiences of the medieval ages. There have been some saints in the medieval times who have written their experiences of the ecstasy and the meeting with God and light of God and all such things. He read a few books of that and he found that, yes, his experiences of wonderful feeling tally with those mystics of the medieval ages. But in almost all the books he found that they were afraid to lose that state. So after meditation they would just sit and contemplate on that feeling, think on that feeling, make a mood. Make a mood sounds little bit insulting. Reflecting on that experience, we could say nicely. So he read in those books that those mystics, they meditated and got into the light of God, enjoyed that kingdom of heaven, and when they came out into the world, it was very difficult for them to engage in action, so they reflected on that beautiful experience. They sat and thought about it so that they may cherish it at least in their memory. Cherish that experience in the memory because it was too precious to be lost. And he read in 4, 5, 6 books. And then he tried to imitate, because if those mystics having such an experience that I am having, if they were afraid to lose it, why I should be bold to lose it? And I should have every right, because I am a wealthy man, I don't have to go to work, I can sit and then reflect on that and enjoy that throughout the day. The idea was not to lose that beautiful experience, and he found evidence of that not losing in the life of the mystics. So he just did exactly this. He had a double-storied house, and the windows opened to the beautiful scene on the Thames in London. So he would meditate 2 hours, 3 hours, and sit and with the open windows, and take a cigar and and he did it day after day and week after week. He'll sit with and look outside and think of that beautiful feeling. Looking out, he was thinking of that beautiful feeling. He did about 6 months like that. The result started to show, and the result started to show its influence, and that was that now he started to walk as a philosopher, tumbling down against everything. Lots of philosophers in their contemplative mood, now they don't want to lose the grip of the reality. So they try to hold the grip, the reality as I am omnipresent and I am eternal and unbounded. And that thought, the mind is held on that thought, and when they walk, they tumble down this way and that way. It's such a superficial, what we call mood making, so damaging to the very purpose of philosophy. The very purpose of the study of reality is lost when a man can't even walk straight. So this young meditator, in about 6 months' time, he started to incorporate in his daily routine all kinds of experiences which result from lack of coordination between mind and the senses. When you meditate, the mind goes deep down into that clear awareness, infinite clear awareness. When your eyes open and you think of that experience, then half mind is inside and half out, and more is inside because that clear awareness is such a wonderful experience. Mind reflects, remembers, enjoys that feeling, and eyes are open. So what is happening is, gradually, the vision which should fall on the object and experience the object starts to be faint, and mind is more on this, and the vision becomes fainter, and the vision becomes fainter, and the mind is more inside and more inside, but the eyes are open. If this continues to happen for 3-4 months, maybe even early, then when you want to see, then you have to exert your vision to see clearly. Because the habit has been that the eyes are open and you don't see. Then when the eyes are open, then the habit is that nothing should be seen, or at least dimly seen. And if you want to see clearly, then you have to exert your eyes to see. This means the coordination of the mind with the senses of perception becomes loose and loose and loose and loose. And then if you would want to write a letter to his friend, the eyes will be required very much to open and strain, and the thought of his friend, the mind would be, because the mind has been mostly blank, thinking of that area of pure consciousness, which was so beautiful. And then to think of something, mind has to exert. To write something, eyes have to exert. The hands have to be a little bit more careful. The whole personality becomes loose, and very loose. Then, when I came to England, this was about 3-4 years ago, the man who was checking him brought him to me. He says, "What is happening to him? He's just completely, he would walk like a log." Like that. As if lifelessness, lack of brilliancy in life. I asked him what he was doing, and then he said he was going to some office a year before and now he doesn't have to go. He got some inheritance from his family and that's enough. Then I said, "What is your routine?" He said, "I'm meditating 2-3 hours and then I don't do anything." Then I said, "What do you do after meditation?" It's a nice view through my window out into the field. And then I said, "Fine, you are looking out. And where is the mind?" He said, I want to recapitulate that experience with open eyes." I said, "This is what has done to you in these 3 months, 4 months." And then I said, "Where you got this idea?" He said, that is the usual routine. All the mystics, are they not afraid of losing it?" I said, "But you have been hearing from me that meditation and activity is the way to make it permanent, to make that bliss consciousness permanent. Certainly, having tasted that beautiful experience, no one would like to lose it. But the technique not to lose it is to keep on losing it purposely. Act and meditate and act and meditate and act and meditate. And then it becomes so much saturated in the very nature of the mind that no matter what mind is doing, no matter what mind is experiencing, it is not erased." And then I asked him, "Tell me the details of what you read and all." So he told me the whole story, that he read that saint and that saint and that saint and that saint, and everyone was afraid to lose it. I said he was afraid to lose it only because he was not properly guided. To slip into that, it can happen. But a regular guidance, how to develop it to the fullest extent, to come to cosmic consciousness, and from there how to develop it to God consciousness, it needs a systematic teaching. And then I asked him to meditate less and work more, and I asked him to run on the street, do some physical things, some yoga exercises, bend here and there. And it took him about 3 months to come out of it, about 3 months, about the same time that it took him to put off So never do we fall into such a misguided conception. The best results are found through this process that we are talking of. Meditation and regular activity with regular meditations, and that's all that we do. It's enough that we have fortunately a system which will quickly bring the mind to the transcendent. This is all that was important. If the cloth starts dipping, then with this process of dipping and drying in the sun, the color could become fast. But if it is not dipping, we are trying to color it and keep on doing like that, not allowing it to dip, then it may take any number of years or any number of lives. But once it starts dipping, then only it has to be supplemented with activity, and supplementing that experience with activity is a normal phenomenon. As spontaneously the mind goes in, so spontaneously it comes out. Activity in life is our normal daily routine. So normal daily routine, add that to this one simple practice morning and evening, that is enough to live integration of life, not much to be done about it. Pass it on.
Is it that bliss is lost, or that the awareness of it is lost because you're overshadowed by the relative?
Just the awareness of it. Lost means lost to our awareness. Otherwise, it's never lost. It's there. It forms the basis of life. Only it gets lost to our awareness, because this comes to our awareness. And this happens only as long as the system has not been cultured to have that awareness and this awareness both simultaneously.
I was wondering then, as you mentioned, that it was possible to have deeper sleep than just deep sleep. Like there's relative gradations of the state of deep sleep, so that you could have actually a stronger or a deeper state of deep sleep than just, if you were meditating longer? Or is the state of deep sleep just the state of deep sleep?
I don't get what you are aiming at.
It was mentioned that after meditating for some time, that the amount of sleep would be intensified so that you would need less sleep. And I believe it was stated that the sleep you would get would actually be deeper than it was before you started meditating. So I was wondering if, since deep sleep is a relative state, are there relative stages of deep sleep, even though there is no awareness?
Deep sleep is not so deep when we are not aware of it. When we become aware of it, this is deep sleep, then that sleep is really deep. And that is the deep sleep of cosmic consciousness. When we experience deep sleep, just as waking state of consciousness becomes very powerful waking state of consciousness when we are aware of it. When pure consciousness becomes permanent, bliss consciousness hangs on to us permanently, then we are aware of the activity of the waking state. So when we are aware of the waking state, then waking state is very powerful. Similarly, when we are aware of deep sleep, we are awake inside and yet we are sleeping deep, then the deep sleep is really deep. Then the rest is very, very deep. And when the rest is deep, the length of rest is minimized. No?